Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And I am really excited about our expert today, and I think you're going to too. And you are going to want to have a pen and paper handy because she has already told me that she is going to let us go to the proven secrets and the behind-the-scenes stuff and share with us so that we can all succeed too. So we're going to learn a lot today, me included. So let's just get to it. So today I'm joined by Lizanne Murphy. She's the creator of Midas Touch Social, a Facebook advertising agency and consultancy firm that specializes in what she calls dream traffic. Her clients learn and apply behavioral psychology principles and techniques to their messaging, offers, and campaigns to drive explosive business growth. Her techniques are what landed her podcast in the 18 spot, number 18 in business entrepreneurship within 24 hours of the launch. And that is pretty impressive. And I have to tell you, if I didn't get your attention on anything else there, I'm going to reiterate the thing that just blew me away in the conversation I had with her before we jumped on the podcast. So let me just reiterate this one thing. She landed her podcast in the number 18 spot in business entrepreneurship. So we know how big that is, right? Business entrepreneurship within 24 hours of the launch. And she just shared with me she did it without paid advertising because I really thought that's how she did it. And she just said she didn't. And she's going to tell us how. So if that didn't get your attention, you might as well just go and read a book. This here is going to shake up your business. So I'm so excited to have you here with me today,
Zan. Patty, thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure to be here, and what a kind introduction. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I am really excited. So, you know, I have to tell you, I think that that is really amazing. There's a lot of things I really want to try to get in today, but since I actually led with that, I want to kind of jump into that. But before we do, can you tell us a little bit about your journey and your story so people know, like, hey, like, what did she do before she really did that? Because we know we don't wake up one day and just decide to do what we're doing now. There's usually an aha moment somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I love that. And you're exactly right. My story is, for a long time, you know, I felt like I was just getting it wrong a lot in life because I've worked in the private sector. I've worked in the public sector. I've worked in corporations. I've worked in entrepreneurship and in multiple capacities. I've worked in academia. And so I've done it all. And for a long time, I just was like, I just felt like I could not get it right. And I spent a lot of years just being confused and feeling like, I swear I'm talented, but it took me a long time to find my stride. And so I've done quite a lot of things. But really, my entrepreneurial journey started when a couple of friends and I, we decided we wanted to do a content-based business. And we were college students at the time. And we had a lot of friends, ourselves included, that were struggling to understand our purpose. And we're just taking classes aimlessly. And like, there wasn't a lot of goals and directions. And a couple of friends and I, we were obsessed with reading personal development books. And so we were doing a lot of personal work to figure out like how to set goals and how to set intention and purpose for your life. And So we had this amazing idea to create this online course for college students to help them find their purpose and set goals so that they didn't just waste time taking random classes, but they knew exactly what they were trying to get out of it. And so we learned that that was my first introduction to the internet marketing world and creating online courses and working on WordPress. And we had so much fun doing it. We had no idea what we were doing, but we had one big problem. And this is the biggest thing we didn't realize is that to complete an online course, there's two huge qualifications. You need money to buy it and time to do it. And what are the two things that college students don't have enough of? Time and money. And so while our course was great intentioned, it totally fell flat because we didn't understand our audience very well. And that was my first cue into, like, no matter how great your product is, if you do not have your customer in mind and creating something that they want and that they can consume, then you're just dooming yourself from the start. So it was an incredible learning experience, but it was a bomb in terms of that. So going through, I finished my undergrad, feel like I want to open up a restaurant. I end up realizing that industry is not good. So I go back, get a job in corporate and start a part-time master's degree at the time. And while I was in there, I still had this entrepreneurial itch. Like if you're an entrepreneur, like, you know what that bug feels like. And it bit me again and was like, okay, you have to try something else. Like you can do more than the opportunities that you have here. So in the middle of my master's program, instead of doing an internship, I put every bit of savings that I had from my corporate job that I'd had over the last 5 years, and I started a real estate investing business. Like, I liquidated everything to do this. And I was like convinced. I was like, this is going to be it. Like, there's so much money in real estate. But it bombed. I didn't make a penny and I lost everything doing it. And it was a combination of factors. Really, it just comes down to it wasn't for me. But the biggest thing that I was missing there was leads. And so again, it was a customer issue. And I was like, okay, I have done two businesses where they both failed because of a lack of understanding my leads or getting leads. And so I was like, okay, if I'm ever going to succeed in entrepreneurship, I have to figure out traffic. And for a while, I mean, after like two failures, I was like, maybe entrepreneurship isn't for me. I went and I started to apply for PhD programs at this point because I was like, okay, maybe academia is where it's at. And 1 week before I turned in my applications, I had a friend approach me with an entrepreneurial opportunity. I just couldn't refuse. So that entrepreneurial bug was biting me again. I took the leap to start this company with her, and 2 months into starting it, she was diagnosed with cancer. And so it was time for her to focus on her health and get healthy. But that left me like, okay, well, now I've quit my corporate job. I stopped my PhD applications. What am I going to do? And I just dove headfirst into figuring out traffic. And so I bought as many courses as I could on Facebook advertising. I saddled myself, like I apprenticed myself with some of the traffic, the media buyers and the traffic people that were doing sales for some huge names in the business, like Billie Jean is Marketing and Joe Polish, and just dove in and figured out traffic. And as I started to figure out traffic, I started to ask my friends if I could try some of the things that I was learning on their business. And things just started to click for me and realizing how to get traffic. And what I realized that if you can control traffic, it's kind of like whoever has the gold makes the rules, right?
Right. Well,
in entrepreneurship, like the gold is traffic, it's leads. And so whoever has the leads makes the rules. And I just had this huge, huge breakthrough in terms of understanding how to get leads. And I've just been obsessed ever since because the process of getting traffic, it's a process that's steeped in human psychology. And my master's program and my PhD preparation was all about understanding human behavior and why people make the decisions that they do. So that's where like the behavioral psychology comes into it with the traffic. So bringing psychology and marketing together has just been a happy marriage for me, but it hasn't come without its times where I've been knocked down. I've spent many times crying, questioning myself. It has not been an easy journey at all, but every single thing that I tried got me one step closer to where I am today. And there's still so many more steps that I need to take, Patty. Like I'm not, I haven't arrived by any means. I'm just doing the best with what I know how and continuing to learn. But my mind has definitely shifted instead of feeling like, oh, I can't get it right, to like, okay, well, kind of how Thomas Edison, right? Like he learned 1,000 ways to not build a light bulb.
I think that that's important. And I also think it's kind of the journey of entrepreneurship altogether, right? You know, and I always like to say, you know, being an entrepreneur is like working, you know, 80 out, giving yourself permission to work 80 hours a week, right? And stuff though. So it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is, just like what you said, you have that itch. It isn't just about making money. It's about making an impact, right? So I think it's just like a little bit different. And, you know, thankfully in the world, we have people who want to be entrepreneurs and people who don't. You know, I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur and I've been an entrepreneur pretty much most of my life, but I was the only one in my family who was. And I think my parents didn't really understand it. They supported me, but I don't think they really got it. And I think it can sometimes be tough, right? And that's why so many entrepreneurs really love surrounding themselves with a tribe of other entrepreneurs, because we get it, right? But I think you said a couple things there that I think are really important. Traffic. Now, we know that that's really important. And, you know, I think that a lot of times the most important thing about traffic is you can have leads. You can even understand that. But ultimately, you have to convert. Right? You know, because I think one of the things that people get really confused about is, what is a lead? What is a referral? I know that in my world, which was built on networking and collaboration, people would get those two confused all the time. It's also like how people get confused between what's profit and what's revenue, right? They're not the same thing either, right? So it's really getting super clear on those things. But you want to know, here's one of the things that I think is a perfect example. Is a lot of times when I talk to people and they're on the show, and I'll ask them, you know, how people can connect to them, and they'll start saying, oh, you know, you can go on Facebook here, and here's my email, and here's my phone number, and like all these things, instead of realizing where's the hub of really where do you want to send those people, right? Because it's really all about traffic. So I think that's really interesting. I'm super glad we're going to dive into this conversation. I want to say, I want to talk about the podcast because I know my listeners want to hear about the podcast, but I really want to, from that, I really want to go into this traffic arena. I think if those are the two things we focus on today, I mean, like literally, I'll probably have to have you back on the show again. Just
let's
to
do it.
Things that I know, but let's flip back to the podcast first. So now that you decided that this traffic was all about it, what made you decide that of that, what made you decide that you were going to do this podcast and in prep for it? Because I know when I decided to do my podcast, I didn't just say, you know, there's a low barrier of entry to have a podcast, right? You know, I mean, anybody could do it tomorrow if they wanted to.
Right.
It'll be really, really good or successful, but they can do it tomorrow if they wanted. So I know for me, there was some prep involved in really getting clear on, you know, who my audience was, what my goal was, you know, why was I doing it? All of those things. So what made you decide to have a podcast? What was your reason? And then let's talk about some of that prep work that you did as we're starting in onto the process of how you got it to be number 18 in the first 24 hours.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you honestly unwittingly led into it perfectly, because you talked about like you have to have a hub of where things are happening in your business and where your content is coming from. And I, up until October of last year, the majority of my business was agency work for Facebook advertising. And so people, like, I didn't have an online presence. Like there wasn't any really digital footprint. I mean, if you looked up my name, because my name is so unique, you'd find me on LinkedIn, but that's it. And I wanted to branch out from just my agency clients, because my agency was great and thriving, but it was all based on word of mouth, which is amazing. But like my circle was small, and I have just internal drives to spread the things that I've learned on a much wider scale. And so I dabbled in doing Facebook Lives and doing Instagram marketing and writing blogs and stuff, and nothing just like really stuck. And I was like, you know, the one thing that I haven't really tried that I actually think would be a really powerful tool, not just for me to practice getting myself out there, but also a way to network and provide value for other entrepreneurs, is a podcast, right? So So just like you, like I wanted to bring people onto my podcast so that I could get to know them and introduce them to my audience. And it would give me a chance to teach as well as introduce my audience to other people. And so in early November last year is when I decided to start a podcast, but I knew nothing about it. And so one afternoon, I just started Googling, how do you start a podcast? And after about 6 hours of research, I was even stuck on like where to host the podcast. You know, it was like, was it Podbean? Was it Simplecast? Was it Libsyn? Was it Anchor.com? Like, I didn't even know where to host this thing. And I just got really overwhelmed really, really quickly. And I was like, okay, after 6 hours of research, and I still haven't even decided where to host my podcast, and I don't even really know what that means. Like, I need some help. And so if there's one thing that I've learned in my journey, like there's no shortcuts, but you can save time by getting coaches that have been on the path that you're trying to walk.
Amen. Amen. Right. Even coaches have coaches, and the best investment you can make is in that. So I 100% agree with you. It's not really a shortcut, but it does shorten your learning curve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it stops you from having to take 6 hours to research where to host your podcast. You know, if you get a coach, they just say, hey, I've done all the research for you. You host here for these reasons. And so I
know where you got to tell us where that was, right? Because my listeners out there go, well, where did she go? Because they're
That's a great question. So I think Libsyn is kind of like the gold standard of a podcast hosting. I had started a personal podcast on Libsyn earlier in the year, and I just found it not very user-friendly. So my podcast is actually hosted on Simplecast. Simplecast is incredibly user-friendly, and it has great basic analytics for its relatively cheap. It's like $15 a month. So, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, one lunch, right? If I sacrifice one lunch a month, you know, it pays for the hosting of my podcast. So it's super, super easy and simple. So yeah, I mean, I think you could go with any hosting and you'd be just fine, but I personally manage mine on Simplecast.
And then who was the person for you that was the, why should I do all this stuff myself when I could just hire you?
Yeah. So, and I love that you're giving me a chance to talk about this. So there are a number of awesome podcast programs out there. The person that was closest to me in my network was a gentleman named Jamie Atkinson. So Jamie Atkinson runs a program called Podcast Profit Lab. And the reason why I went with him was because, so there's two basic strategies when you start a podcast in terms of if you want to make money from it. You can monetize your audience, and that's what most people are like familiar with when they think about like podcast monetization. And that's, you know, if you have a huge enough following, then you can get sponsors or you can offer your audience something at the end and collect leads from that. So you can monetize your podcast that way. You can also monetize your podcast based on the guests that you have. So you can use the podcast as a lead generation strategy to bring guests on who would be a potential fit for your service if you have a service-based business. And then you can build that relationship with them. And then if you find that you click, then you can offer them your services to help them grow their business. So Jamie focused on the monetization of the guest side. And so that was a clear choice for me since I run an agency where I could use the podcast as a way to network with people, spread value out there, but also use it as a way to build my business on the agency side. And so that's why I decided to go with that strategy. But there's multiple strategies. So you have to find the coach that works with what podcast strategy you're going with.
I think that's really good. I know that I work with my clients on podcast strategy and monetization, because this is the Marketing Media Money Show, right? And stuff though. And you're right, those are the two biggest ones. And sometimes people really have a hard time choosing. They're like, can I do a hybrid of both? And of course, you can always do that. But I love that you actually broke those down. I literally have taken that course too. And so I think I knew that's what you were going to say. I didn't ask you before. I was pretty sure that's what you were going to say. So I love when somebody validates what I think, right? You know, so that's fabulous. So now you figured that part out. What was, like, take me through the process for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and what's funny about, and when you create anything in your business, you know, you're very innocently jumping into something and you don't realize how big it's become. So, I mean, like I launched my podcast in December 2nd. And since then, you know, I've worked on monetizing the guest side, but I've also realized like I have all these listeners, like I need to monetize them too. So I've spent, I'm spending the whole next month on a monetization strategy for the audiences. So I just wanted to say that like you can do both, but I wouldn't recommend trying to do both at the same time because each one is a beast in its own right. And each beast requires that it is fed. And so I chose to start with the monetization of the guests. And it wasn't until that was kind of dialed in and mastered that I felt comfortable on moving over and also monetizing the audience as well. So, okay. So I decided to start this podcast in early November. I joined Jamie Atkinson's podcast Profit Lab, and I was just immediately blown away at the amount of detail that was required to start a podcast. Because like you say, I mean, you can start up a podcast in an afternoon, but I wanted to do it right because the ranking was really, really important to me. So when you first start a podcast, you have to understand who you're talking to and what your goal is for having the podcast in the first place. And it can't just be, you know, to make money. Like you have to be actually putting value into the world so that people are attracted to that. So I had made a decision, and there were a lot of podcasts out there that were on Facebook advertising, and I didn't want to like be necessarily in competition with them. So I started my podcast on this one premise because there's so many marketing tools and tactics out there. And I wanted to, so I started on this premise, like what is the one small marketing strategy or tactic that's making the biggest difference in your business right now? So my goal was to bring on entrepreneurs for them to share a marketing strategy or tactic that was working for them in that moment. So it wasn't just theory. It wasn't just a good idea. It wasn't what's trending. I wanted to get into someone's business and really talk about like, what are they doing and why is it working and how can the listeners apply that to their businesses? So it's more of a general marketing podcast, which allows me to bring a more general audience, like not just traffic experts, but like I've had branding experts on there and copywriting and e-commerce. I mean, course creators, coaches, there's so many different people because everyone is marketing their business in some way. And it's just been fascinating to see, you know, like, cause I'll from the outside be like, I bet they're going to talk about this as the marketing strategy that's working for them. And then they come on and it's something totally different, but you were asking the process. So I'll jump back to that. So once I had decided what my podcast was going to be about and who it was going to be for and what the outcomes were for, then it was like, okay, now you need a strategy to launch this thing. And when you're trying to get your podcast ranked, there's a couple really key things that you have to understand. The first is that when you submit it to iTunes and iTunes accepts it, as soon as it gets interaction from somebody, it is considered launched. So the trick is to like get your show to be active on Facebook and bring this whole wave of traffic like right at the same time, which is a challenge because like when you submit your show to iTunes, you don't know exactly when it's going to go live. And so like you're doing all this work to hype up your audience and get them interested in going, but you have to like time it right with when the podcast goes live on iTunes. So that was a super tricky thing. But the biggest thing that I was up against, Patty, is because I was an agency owner, I did not have a list. So I couldn't just tap my email list and say, hey guys, I'm launching a podcast, help me out. I mean, I was literally starting from like my list was like 25 people, like the clients that I'd had in the last like 18 months. And so this was a podcast that like I decided to start it in the beginning of November, and I had 1 month because my launch date was December 2nd. I had 1 month to somehow find people to come to the podcast. And what matters for ranking is ratings, reviews, downloads, and subscriptions to the podcast. Those are the four things that matter. And ratings and reviews are the most important. So I was like, okay, how do I my goal was to get my podcast in the top 10. That was my goal. And I'd watched Allison Prince launch a podcast, and she had hit, I think she hit number 9. And I was watching, I was in business entrepreneurship, and I was watching her launch. And so I was like, okay, what is she doing? And she had within like the first 24 hours, she had 200 reviews. And I was like, okay, like reviews are obviously really, really important. And you want downloads as well. And so I was like, okay, for my strategy for ratings and reviews, I am going to do two major things. One, and this sound might sound crazy, but like this is how all entrepreneurs start. I went through every single contact in my cell phone. And if I had talked to them in the last 6 months, then I started a conversation with them and told them that I was starting a podcast and if they'd be willing to help. Now, great strategy because it's your friends and family and they're willing to help you. Poor strategy because they're not your ideal, they're not your ideal clients and your ideal market. But for the launch, I was like, I need the numbers. And so I was okay with getting my friends and family help to do the ratings and reviews. But I wanted to make sure that the bulk of the people were my potential customers. So with that part, I decided to give away tons of stuff for free from my Facebook profile. And you have to be careful with this because Facebook doesn't like it, and so it can shut you down. But I would do a post, and they call it a bait post. I would do a post and I would say like, hey, who wants the top 10 ways to help your Facebook ad traffic succeed? Say I'm in below or something like that. So when people would say I'm in, then I would start a personal direct message conversation with them and give them the freebie, but then say, hey, the reason why I'm doing this is because I'm launching a podcast. Would you be willing to rate and review that podcast when it comes out on December 2nd? I promise I will message you and remind you when that day is. And because of the law of reciprocity, I'd already given them something. A lot of them felt inclined to say, yeah, of course. And because they were my target audience, they were excited for this new podcast that was coming out. So that was all, and I did that all manually. I didn't have a bot or anything to do that. So it was me manually posting these things and then starting conversations. Now you might be thinking, well, most of my friend list are not my target audience. Well, to make sure that people would see my profile post, I went into Facebook groups where I knew my target audience was, and I started commenting all types of value posts about like what I was doing with the podcast, marketing tips and things like that. And as people would comment, I would either invite them to come and check out my page, or I'd offer them the sort of DM with them, a direct message with them, and offer them the freebie there. And any communication that I had with people, I kept a giant spreadsheet, just an Excel spreadsheet of every single person that I talked to. And I gave myself 2 weeks to do this, and it was a full-time job for myself. I reached out to and had a conversation with 600 people.
Wow.
In those 2 weeks. And so I was like, and I knew that there would be a percentage that did rate and review and that didn't. And so I was like, okay, if following Allison Prince's model, to get in the top 10, I need at least 200 reviews. So if I need 200 reviews, it's a numbers game, right? I'm like, if I can talk to at least 600-700 people, if I can get 1 in 4 people to write the review, then I can get there. 1 in 3, 1 in 4 people.
This was a full-time job.
It was a huge effort. Let's just say those 2 weeks of launch, there was my eating habits, my sleeping habits, and my hygiene habits were not awesome. But I was committed to getting that number because I was like, I'm only launching this thing once. Like, and you can relaunch podcasts, but I was like, I only want to launch this once and I want to do it right.
I love when people are committed. Commitment
absolutely
is a good thing.
Yeah. So, and some people might be like, oh my gosh, that's way too much work. And I wish if I was launching another podcast, I could probably automate a lot of this stuff with a bot, but because I've never done it before, like it was just good elbow grease and getting in there and figuring out what is working.
I think it's also important to remember here at this point that you had already in your entrepreneurship journey, you know, done things that didn't work out so good for you, right? And so you were committed. And I think, you know, hey, if I was Mark Cuban right now, I'd be like, you know, good job, right? Like what he says on Shark Tank, right? Doing it however you have to do it shows that you're committed. Not only that, but because business is really built on relationships, doing all that also opened up conversation for you that once those few weeks were over and it was launched and people were listening, now you could continue to build those relationships and use the other strategies of what your goal was to monetize. So I think that made sense. But what happened with the downloads and the subscription? What did you do there?
Yeah, so the very last thing that I did in terms of strategy is right when it launched, and I teased this to the 600 people that were interested, but I had a contest. And so I offered a number of things and some that would apply, some that would be intriguing to my ideal audience, and then things that would be intriguing to my family and friends. So like I said, like the top four prizes were like, one was I was going to do a Facebook ads audit for someone for free, which I normally charge a few thousand dollars to do that. Another one was AirPods. The AirPods, I knew, I was like, that's a perfect gift for a podcast, right? Because you listen to a podcast. And I knew that AirPods would bring in my friends and family to be more willing to give that rating and review. And I have like different resources that I use with my private clients. And so I gave different bundles away. And so there was very low fulfillment. Like the cost for me was the $150 pair of AirPods. But I was like, man, if I spend $150 total to get a top 10 slot, then like we're gonna do it. So
now let's first say that that wasn't just $150 to get the 10 slot, because the value of your time when you were committed in those, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But hey, sometimes when people are starting, they have money. Sometimes they have time. Like you said, early on, you were committed. And I'm like super impressed. I have to tell you, I'm way more impressed now than I was when I thought you were just really, really smart and had a really good Facebook advertising strategy, because I knew you did that. So I was thinking, oh, she did that with Facebook advertising. And I thought the whole conversation today was going to be about this really great strategy you had to use Facebook advertising to make that happen. And I have to tell you, I was impressed then and I'm even more impressed now. So I have to tell you, I'm super excited. But just because those people left you a rating and a view didn't mean they were downloading it, and it didn't mean they were subscribing.
That's correct. So this is where the setup really, really matters. So for a download to count, someone has to at least start listening to the episode. So the way I structured my launch was, I had 10 interviews and I made sure that they were short interviews so that the whole episode would be anywhere from 7 to 10 minutes. And at the beginning and at the end of each episode, I teased the next episode. So with those 10 launch episodes, if someone was to go through and listen to all 10, it would be in like an hour to an hour and a half total of time to listen. And so that was intentional, because whether an episode is 5 minutes long or 50 minutes long, it still counts as one download. So my strategy was very intentional to have multiple short episodes at the front so that in an hour, people could binge my show, get attached to the show, but also for one person, it would count as 10 downloads. Mm. So once I got them in and listening and download, the downloads just racked up really, really quickly. And then I was asking people to do ratings and reviews and sending me screenshots when they did it. And for anyone that gave a rating and review, I also gave them a resource to help them with their Facebook ads. And it was the days of the launch were really just hustle, 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 because when iTunes recognizes that you have a new podcast, the first 24 hours of people interacting with it in terms of downloads, ratings, and reviews, it's like each person interaction gets a 3x weight. So it's like if one person rates and reviews, it counts as like 3 reviews in their algorithm, and the 10 downloads count as 30 downloads in the algorithm. And then the second the second set of 24 hours. So in the, from hour 24 to 48, things count as 2x. And then on the third day, it just counts 1 for 1. So like the first 3 days of launch are absolutely critical because you get more bang for your buck. So I knew that like those first 24 hours were going to be absolutely, absolutely, absolutely essential to the success. And so the launch was December 2nd, which was a Monday. And so I built up all this excitement around the podcast by reaching out to these 600 people. And then starting early, early, early Monday morning, because I didn't want people to just go in early. I got up really, really early. And I just started messaging people like crazy. And I was like, the podcast is live. Come and rate and review it. And
amazing you didn't get put in Facebook jail.
Yeah, well, a lot of it was, yeah, it's honestly true. And the reason why I didn't was because I wasn't using links in my messages.
Ah.
So if you don't use links and you, like every like 20 messages, if you change the copy of it, then you kind of skirt around the rules, because what Facebook is looking for is you are spamming people with links or you're spamming people with the same message over and over and over again. So, and you have to space it out over time. So like I had like strategic times where I was like, okay, I'm going to reach out to 50 people an hour. So like I just did like 50 people an hour and I just rotated.
Well, as long as you adjusted your time zone so you knew where people were, right?
Yep.
I mean, that works really well too, right? There's no sense doing it on the West Coast that early. They're not even awake yet, right?
Totally. Totally. Yeah, you're exactly right. So yeah, it was just like, it was 3 days of just straight hustle and asking people for reviews. And I followed up with people 3 times. And after the third time, I just counted it as like a dead lead. But anyone that I'd given a download to before, I had their email address. So this was also a list building strategy for me. And after the launch, I mean, with the launch, with all of the connections and talking to people and giving them the freebies and talking about what my offer was, within 24 hours, I had over 100 reviews. And I hit the number 18 slot in business entrepreneurship, which was so fun. And I was zooming past podcasts like Marketing Secrets with Russell Brunson and stuff like that. And so it was just funny, you know, like as I was watching my podcast go up the charts, I was screenshotting all these big wigs that I was, you know, beating in the charts. And it was such a blast. And it was really, really fun. And from the contacts that were made that launch week, I generated $5,000 organically in my business from people that had become aware of my services. I was also booked to speak because of the success. I was booked to speak on 5 podcasts in 2 summits. And it was really just because I was just going crazy and getting myself out there. And I knew who I was talking to. And so because they recognized that I was speaking to them, they responded, you know, and they were attracted to what I was offering and what I was doing. And it was just an awesome, awesome experience. It was way more work than I anticipated, but because I was committed to the result, I stuck with it. So I missed my top 10 slot, but I was still top 20 and I was super pleased about that. And I realized that one of my really good friends from right after I graduated, he had actually submitted a review on Sunday evening. And so I think that the iTunes algorithm started earlier than my traffic, the wave hitting that. And so I think that I started, the majority of my traffic came on the 2X day instead of the 3X day in terms of how the algorithm does it. So I think that had, and I'm not 100% positive, you know, like you don't know exactly the algorithms, but like, I just wonder sometimes if I'm like, if that one review hadn't come in about 12 hours before the rest, if it would have ranked a bit higher, but you know, that's just me.
But it's all good.
So.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's all good. Cause you really learn a lot. And that is really a great process. I really love it. And I know there are people out there and they're thinking to myself, oh my gosh, but here's what I always want to say. When I'm thinking about hiring people, I want somebody that already has shown me that they're committed to their success. Because if they're not committed to their success, they're not really going to be too committed to mine, right? So I look at the habits of the people that I'm going to hire. And I tell people all the time, if you're going to hire somebody, don't hire somebody unless they're where you want to be and they have what you want to have. And for me, they also have to be, Now, I'm not saying this is for everybody. I'm just saying for me and where I am in my business right now, for me, I won't even hire somebody. Now, I'm not going to say I won't buy a program or I won't learn from. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But I won't personally hire like as a coach or something like that, because coaches have coaches, right? And I always have two or three at a time, unless they're actually financially at the place that I want to be as well, right? You know, because I want to know that somebody has done the work, right? You know, they've done the work, right. And that's super important to me. Now, so I just really love that. And to tell you the truth, I really have to tell you, it was very generous of you to share that process. And I know for some of you, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I just couldn't write that fast enough. You know, that's really great that you're going to get to listen to it again over and over and over again if you didn't. And we'll have a lot of this in the show notes as well. But I think that was really, really important. And I really appreciate that, because I know that one of the other things we really want to talk about is we really want to talk about something that I think is also very, very important here. And we keep going back to getting that traffic, because the bottom line is, yes, you did it. And, you know, when you're done with that, and it happened and it launched and this is what happened and here's where you got. After that, you're thinking, whew, because now really honestly, the work was just beginning. I mean, before you were doing all that in a very concentrated matter of time. But now that you connected with all those people, you couldn't let that die off, right? Like now is where it's like the relationship building time. This is where you have to continue the conversation. This is where the deep dive goes. And then also the conversion, right? Of how, yes, that was great, but now we have to go back to that monetization strategy, right? And I think, and this is why I did it in this order too, instead of talking about traffic first. I love that you talk about dream traffic, right? So, I mean, that is something that's super important and really about costs of acquisition. And, you know, I think people, I always love it when I hear people say it, because usually they're like, oh, you know, like Kevin O'Leary says on Shark Tank, as you can tell, I love Shark Tank. But I mean, I think it's funny, but you know what? Most people don't know those numbers, right? They really do not know it. And so they have a hit and miss. It's kind of like, I've been in the marketing industry for a long time, and I say it's like spaghetti marketing, right? They do this and this, they throw it against the wall, they see what sticks, instead of really knowing the numbers. And that's why I actually kind of like the name of your podcast, because it really honestly is about knowing the numbers. You have to know the metrics. Right? Because if you don't, you can't track what you don't measure. Mm-hmm. And we live in a world right now that you really need to know data, and data can shorten your learning curve a lot. So let's kind of talk a little bit about dream traffic and about those, because I feel like through all this, you probably really learned a lot. And that's just about your podcast, but in general, really about business, let's just talk about traffic. And why do you call it dream traffic? Because I think that before we lead there, you know, and I know we're talking about behavioral stuff, right? People think, oh, I know my demographics, and some people will understand psychographics, right? But it's so much more than that. Those are not just the only two things, right? There's so much more than that. So let's kind of talk about that.
I love that. Yeah. And Patty, you are so right and just so sharp. So where this concept of dream traffic really came from was in my Facebook agency, I was recognizing that I had some clients where they were just scaling really easily, you know, just flying past the six figures a month and into, you know, easy seven figures a year. And then there were others where like, it was just like, there was mismatches with their ads and things weren't working and they just kept hitting ceilings. And I was using the same strategies, the same ad strategies for both. So I was like, what is going on? Like, it's not like Facebook is just favoring this one ad account over another. What is happening? And so I started to dive in, like really see, okay, like where are the similarities and where are the differences in why some clients are just scaling, like slicing a hot knife through butter. And then others, it's like grinding through hard things all the time. And I had this experience with one particular client where I realized something really powerful. So this particular client, she has two basic demographics of who she speaks to. She speaks to people that are website designers and funnel builders, and then she also speaks to freelancers. And for a long time, I was putting both interests in the same campaign and getting good results. But I decided one time to build a campaign that was just for the website designers and funnel builders, and then a separate campaign that was just for the freelancers. And the results were astounding. The results were that the freelancers, the cost per acquisition was 4 times less than the funnel builders and the website, or the funnel builders and the website designers. And I was like, what? It's like, now I was even seeing that difference in the cost per acquisition in one account. It wasn't just the difference between different clients. It was in one account. And I was like, what is going on? So I dove into the messaging of the ads. I dove into the messaging and the focus of the webinar is where these ads were leading. And I had this huge realization that even though this client, their preferred customer was the website designers and funnel builders, their webinar was their messaging and the focus and the call out was totally built for freelancers. So the camp, sorry, were you going to say
that's jump very in? Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So the campaign where it was focused on freelancers in the ads and then focused on freelancers in the webinar, it was the more seamless transition. And so the cost per acquisition was way lower. Whereas with funnel builders, we were pulling in the right people with funnels and website designers. But then when they got to the webinar, it was a mismatch because the webinar was built for freelancers. And so a lot would bounce. Like in the first few minutes, she goes in to talk about like what a funnel is. And if you're already a funnel builder, they're like, I already know this. And so they bounce, which causes the funnel to be really leaky for that person. And so fewer and fewer people see the actual offer on the back end. So I was like, what is this? This is insane that like you can't just, because I see ads all the time where people are trying to talk to everyone that their message could possibly reach. Right?
Right.
And it just, because of the data and the precision of social media and the precision of the Facebook algorithm, you just can't do that. Because if you speak broadly, then basically what you're saying is you're saying, Facebook, I give you permission to spend my money to find my dream customer, instead of you telling Facebook, this is my dream customer, find them. There's a huge difference between those two, and it is a difference between a profitable offer and a not profitable offer when it comes to ads. So as I dove into the data with these different clients, I started to see themes of what created the click between the ad and the offer and the messaging and what factors it takes to understand how to get people through your funnel that will actually buy. So I call dream traffic getting the right traffic through the funnel that will actually convert and buy. Because like you said, there's all kinds of different traffic and there's different types of leads, but unless they convert, you're just wasting your time and your money. And so with my clients, I take them through a process where there's actually, like you mentioned, demographics and psychographics. I have 6 different graphics that I take them through to help people understand like who exactly they're speaking to and how to get them to actually buy. So for example, like the client that I was talking about who she had a system that was built and oiled really well for freelancers. Right now, we're actually in the process of building a system for the funnel builders and the website designers that it will go to the same offer, right? Because the offer applies, but unless you talk to the person in a way where they say, yes, this is for me, this solves a pain that I have, and it creates a solution that I want, they aren't going to listen and they're going to fall out before they even get a chance to see that offer.
I also think that sometimes when people are doing messaging, one of the things that I find sometimes as well is that in a ideal perfect world, whether it's with your, as you're walking through the funnel, right? You know, you solve a problem for them, but if you're not illuminating another problem, then they think they're done. Like they don't continue in the journey, right? And yeah. So you absolutely know, this is why sometimes when people say, oh, I don't want to share my stuff because then they won't hire me, that is like so false. Like you should be giving away that for free because yes, you're solving a problem for them. Oh, I wasn't aware that that was my problem, but that doesn't mean they know how to do it, right? Or that they even want to, right? And stuff. So I think that it is so important to make sure that you understand that whole process and that you just don't take them part of the way and go from A to C, but never take them home, right? I think that is really important. I think that's an important point that determines how you monetize and if you convert.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
And so I love that you actually have that whole strategy and take them through all that. I know messaging is something really, really important. I've said this before. We can all be in a lot of lanes, right? We all do a lot of things. For me, I stay in marketing and media. And even though people say to me all the time, oh my gosh, Patty, you do a lot of things. Not really. Everything I do, I mean, yes, I do have a magazine and a podcast and I do live events and all the things I do, but it's still under marketing and media. I find that I love to build relationships with people who do these other things. So if I have a client and they say, okay, we think we're at the time now where we should be doing paid advertising, I want somebody that they're an absolute expert and know everything there is to know about that thing. And that's why we build relationships with people so we can send them over there and say, okay, I don't want that. If I was writing checks for things, I don't want somebody who does that and 10 other things. I want somebody that this is your area of expertise, right? And when you're talking about paid advertising, you absolutely want somebody who's not just going to have taken some classes and stuff. You want somebody who's literally in the trenches, has done it, and like what you just said, seeing the abnormalities and is ready to dive in and say, okay, why did that happen? And really ready to do the work. We have to test. We have to track. We have to know metrics. So I think that is really, I think what I really love about what you're saying so much is how open you are to watching every nuance and saying, okay, there's a reason that that happened. And the data here is telling us we need to dive into behaviorally, why is that happening? And that is really the authority and the expertise that you have and what you bring to the table and why people should hire you. So I say good for you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah. Well, and it's so true. Like the data tells a story. Like just this week, I'm helping a coach who helps other coaches build their courses. And we were running traffic for about 3 weeks, and our focus for the messaging focus for the traffic was stop getting stalled on your course, get it done quickly. And oh man, the ads were just falling flat. I had never launched ads that performed as poorly as this. And I was like, what is going on? Like, this is nuts. And so we made some shifts, but after a couple of weeks, I was just like, okay, we need to take a step back. And so we went back to his competitors and we analyzed what they were doing and how they were selling a similar thing. And what we found is that all of their messaging in terms of selling their courses, it was based around two things. It's either based on one, fill your courses. And so what people wanted was the leads to fill their courses. And then in the process, that coach actually helped them create their course. And then the second thing was getting over the tech overwhelm. So like knowing exactly like how to build it, just like with me with the podcast, like I was really overwhelmed with the tech. And so he had intentionally differentiated himself by doing the messaging of get it done fast. But the problem with that is that that's not people's pain. They don't care about it getting done fast. And so the messaging wasn't resonating with the traffic. And so the ads were just falling flat. So we did a complete revamp of his ads because of what the story that the data was telling us. And we relaunched and his ads were doing immediately 3 times better when we changed the messaging to match his competitors. And it was another example where I was just like, oh my goodness. Like if you don't understand the pain that your prospective client is going through and you don't hit that pain where they are in their customer journey, your ads are just, you're launching to crickets. And
you have to use words that they use too. I think one of the things when I'm working with my clients on their messaging for anything, social media, whatever we're doing, right? You know, their website, their ads, like just how their reach outs, whatever the case may be, a lot of times they get really stuck on wanting to do it in the words that they want to use. And, you know, back in the day when I was in the mortgage industry, you know, literally 20 years ago, I remember that there would be people that would say, oh, I'm a mortgage architect or I'm a mortgage specialist. And I would be like, that's really great when somebody's buying a house while they're looking for a loan officer, right? You know, so you can call yourself anything that you want. You can use all these nice words that you think make you look so clever. on your website, but clarity over clever wins every time.
Oh, I love that. Clarity over clever. Amen to that.
So I think that's really very, very good. And I have to tell you, this has been really amazing. I absolutely do know I'm going to want to have you come back again. I think that is great information, absolutely great information. So how can people connect with you?
Yeah, well, I love that question. So I think there's two main places, because it's not just about connecting with me. It's about, like, if you want more information and more value from this, because I want to build relationships where you feel like you're gaining something from it. So the two places I would point you is either to my podcast. So it's the Marketing Matrix podcast, and that you can find that on all major channels. And then the other place is my Facebook group. That's where we have conversations about marketing and conversations about this messaging and things like that. So my Facebook group is called Facebook Ads for Coaches, Course Creators, and Lifestyle Brands. It's a mouthful, but it works with the SEO of the Facebook algorithm. So if you go into the Facebook groups and you can search for that, then that would probably be the best place. And I'm sure we can put the link in the episode notes. But yeah, my Facebook group or my podcast. You're also more than welcome to DM me, but if you want to join the conversations that I'm having, those would be the two places to do that.
See, and I love how very targeted you even are in that, right? You know, where some people are like, oh, here and here and here and here, but you are very targeted, not just for you, but where they can find you, but really where they're going to get the most value. So I think I really love that. So here is where we come to the portion of the show, which I like to call hashtag open mic, my version of social karaoke. That's what I love to say. And you came bearing gifts too, which I really love. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the gift? We'll put the link again in the show notes for everybody, but tell us a little bit about the gift.
Yeah. So Patty, you brought this up just a minute ago where you said, like, the power of marketing today is in the data. And one of people's biggest pain points with the data is they have access to so many data points, but they do not know how to read them. And so with Facebook ads, what I've done is I've created it's a spreadsheet. I call it my Facebook metrics made easy. Really, it's a stats cheat sheet. So I go through all the important stats that you need to know if you're running Facebook ads. And I share what the stat means, how it's calculated, what ranges you should be looking for if your ad is healthy, depending on what industry you're in. And most importantly, how the stats relate to the ad creative. So like if your link click-through rate is low, that means that your headline and the first three lines of your copy need some work. And I just go through each statistic and I talk about how it relates to the ad creative so that you can make smart data-based decisions so that you don't just throw money to the Facebook gods and pray that it will work, that you can actually be the commander of your advertising ship.
I love that so much. So that was really good. So one of the things that I really love, right, this is the Marketing Media and Money Show. And so one of the things that it's really important to me is that if they didn't get enough, right, we always like to make sure that we talk about, like what you said yours was about really, is like, what is that number one marketing media and money strategy? So what, you had to nail that all up, what would be the number one marketing media money strategy?
Yeah, so, and we talked a little bit about this with the podcast, but I'll go into just a tiny bit more detail with it. So your profile, your personal profile, first of all, if you're an entrepreneur, it's my personal opinion that, I mean, a lot of people are like, well, my profile is for my personal family and stuff. Like, if you want to run a successful business, you have got to make your personal profile your business profile, and just maybe this is too bold, but just get over yourself and like it's a business tool for you where you are sitting on opportunities for hundreds and hundreds of qualified leads. And so when you make the decision to make your personal profile your business profile, you have to treat it carefully because Facebook doesn't like that. But you want your profile to be a place where people can learn about you. And so if you have like your background image that leads to your Facebook group that you want people to go into, or an offer that you're offering, like you want all roads to lead to whatever you are trying to offer or collect leads for. But the way you bring people to that world is you need to be active in groups where your key, your target dream customers are. So if you, like, for example, like if you like post something on your personal profile where you're giving an offer or a value, and again, you have to do it in a way that Facebook won't slap you for it. But if you're just like saying, like, for example, so I did this just this past week, like I'm launching a Facebook Foundations introductory course because I've had a lot of people with the state of the world right now that are contacting me and saying, hey, like, I know that I need to have a bigger presence online and use ads, but I don't know where to start. So I'm trying to create some value out there. But so I created this post and I said, hey, I'm doing a Facebook Foundations course. Comment below what questions you want answered. So it brings attention to what I'm doing. And then I go over into the groups where I know my people are, and I go and I post different things over there, like the 5 keys to Facebook ads that people are missing today, or how to pivot your messaging in the world today so that your ads are more successful. Because, like, the state of the world, normally with entrepreneurs, our messaging is faced towards helping people move towards pleasure. But really with the world right now, people are trying to just move away from pain. And so you have to shift that. And so post something like that in the Facebook group. And when people say, oh, wow, this Lisanne girl, she's smart, she knows some things, when they click on my name in the group, it takes them to my profile. And then on my profile, they can see, oh, wow, she has a course coming up. Yeah, I totally want to be a part of that. And it draws people that are your ideal customer to you without you needing to spend any money on ad dollars. And you're giving people an opportunity to self-select and say, yes, I want what you have to offer.
I love that. I think that's really, really important. So what would you say then, is the difference in just that realm? Because, like, I know it's really, I get that a lot of times from people that say that, oh, I only want to talk to my friends and family. And I'm like, then put them in a group. I have all my family and my friends, my non-business friends, in a group. And when I'm talking to them, I just talk to that group and they're all in it. It worked perfect. And then they don't have to see the other stuff if they don't want to. They self-select for that too. But what is the difference business-wise, right? Or is it just in how you do it when you're on your personal profile versus on a business page?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really important. So with a business page, and wow, we could talk about this for a long time. So let's see if I can
try to sum it up. I won't ask you to.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. So with a business page, so Facebook is becoming increasingly more, you have to pay to play if you want to use it as a business platform. So where you used to be able to have a business page and you could post something on there and it would get a lot of organic reach. I was just reading a study done by Pew Research where posts on Facebook pages are only hitting 6% of followers of that page, which is like crazy. Like, that's so
absolutely
low.
Crazy and so true.
It's so low. And really what Facebook is saying is, like, you have to pay to play. What makes your Facebook profile different is that your reach is a lot bigger because it's meant for your friends and family. So my happy hybrid is where I post, like, probably out of every 4 posts, I post 3 posts about business, something about business in it. And I try to make it still conversational so that, like, my friends and family, when they see it, they're not going to be like, oh my gosh, like, she just keeps shoving Facebook ads down my throat. Like, they're more like, good job, Lisanne, like, way to launch the top 18 podcast. And, like, it's meant for business and to draw the right business people. But, like, my friends and family are still like, way to go, sweetie, you know? And then the fourth, and every fourth post, I will do something that is very personal so that my friends and family aren't just inundated with my podcast and Facebook stuff. So
I think that makes sense. I do. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think when people are talking about engagement, it still does help you balance those. So I think that is very, very important. And I think you're very specific in that. And I love that. So thank you so much, Lisanne, for being here with me. You were very, very generous in sharing your brilliance. And I really appreciate that. So thank
it is my pleasure.
You so much for being here.
Oh, it is my absolute pleasure, Patty. You are a smart lady. I love what you're doing with the world and the value you're putting out there. So I really appreciate you taking your time to bring me on so that I can share with your audience.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Marketing Media and Money podcast. I appreciate you so much. I look forward to seeing you on our next episode of the Marketing Media and Money podcast. Make it a phenomenal day. And remember, if your day is not phenomenal, you have the power to change it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing Media and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing Media and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.